This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is The Informer, a Joy 94.9 podcast. This podcast was made possible with support from the Community Broadcasting Foundation. To support the production of content like this, donate at cbf.com.au.
New figures have confirmed that the drugs that cause the most overdoses in Australia are benzodiazepines. More than 1.5 million Australians have prescriptions for benzos, and the drugs are commonly prescribed for anxiety and insomnia. The data from the Australian Bureau of Statistics has caused alarm among health professionals and politicians. Amy Peacock is a senior researcher at the Drug and Alcohol Research Centre. The centre puts together annual reports on the trends in drug use in Australia, and we spoke to her to summarise the results. She'll be joining us very shortly here on Joy to talk about benzodiazepines.
I mean, we've been looking at trends in drug-induced deaths among Australians. This most recent report covers from 1997 to 2017. And when we look at preliminary estimates for 2017, it's telling us that there's been more than 1,700 drug-induced deaths among Australians in that year. When we break that down into a daily rate, that works out to be roughly nearly 5 people per day that have died from drug-induced reasons. And most of these deaths were accidental and mostly from pharmaceutical opioids. And often those pharmaceutical opioids mixed with other medicines like benzodiazepines.
How are the most recent drug trends? What have been the changes over that period?
Yeah, I mean, it's really interesting looking at trends in drug-induced deaths over the last two decades, I would say. So when we look back in the late 1990s, that was when we had a peak in drug-induced deaths. And back then it was typically males. It was typically kind of males in their 20s to early 30s, and predominantly opioids again, but some degree of heroin involvement. When we look in more recent years, it's still predominantly occurring among males, but it's a slightly older population. So it's more people in their late 30s, 40s and early 50s. And it really is predominance of prescription medicines that we see there. So it's mainly driven by pharmaceutical opioids, but we see higher rates of involvement of other things that have kind of a depressant effect. So benzodiazepines, antipsychotics, and also other medicines that we see prescribed for pain. So things like pregabalin are also rising in these drug-induced deaths.
We also asked Amy what she thought was driving these trends.
Said it's quite concerning seeing high rates of prescription medicine being involved in these deaths, and particularly where you see multiple prescription medicines that we know when they're consumed together can interact and increase people's risk of overdose. And I think seeing this ongoing trend really reinforces the need and recent calls for greater access to treatment, to drug-related treatment services. So we know that these services are heavily underfunded and that they're, you know, many people who want to access these services are unable to. So seeing these deaths continue at this high rate really tells us that we need to be investing more in making sure that every Australian who needs treatment is able to access it.
Do you have a sense of the gap between, like, what kinds of, say, rehabilitation services or support services for people who have addiction problems, the services that are provided, and what's actually needed? Do you have a sense of how big that gap is?
Directly that I can quantify, but we do know that quite a substantial number of people who do want treatment are unable to receive it, but also more importantly that treatment for drug-related problems is both effective but also cost-effective as well. There is a good value for money in terms of, I think it's something like for every dollar that's invested in treatment we see a return of around $7 in terms of the treatment benefits, both to the person themselves but more broadly to their family, to their employer, but also to the wider community as well. So ensuring a greater investment in treatment services will actually see a greater benefit to the broader community as well.
That was Amy Peacock, a senior researcher at the Drug and Alcohol Research Centre. One of the things that's so challenging about benzos is that many people don't realise how addictive they are or where they can turn to for help. So to find out more about the treatment of benzo addiction, we spoke to the CEO of ReConnection, formerly known as Trank, a helpline for those struggling with sleeping pill and benzo addiction. We asked Janet Shaw what people struggling with benzo addiction could do.
The first thing that I'd say for people who might be struggling with benzo dependency or with anxiety is to really look for the right help. You can recover from benzo dependency, And there's also a lot you can do to manage anxiety without medication. And also, these days there's a really lot of good information about sleep as well, dealing with insomnia without medication as well. You do need to look after yourself. So it's, I'm sure your listeners would guess what I'd be saying next, but it's about, you know, good diet, being healthy with your food, careful with alcohol because that can make things worse, bit of exercise, some relaxation. But I would also encourage people to have a look at the Reconnexion website. Reconnexion is spelt with an X because we've got fact sheets and resources and links and videos and information about withdrawal symptoms and so on. And I also would encourage people to think about giving our support line a call.
The number for that support line is 1-300-273-266, or you can email Reconnexion on info@reconnexion.org.au. We wanted to unpack why benzos have become so dangerous with Janet and discuss with her the larger issue of benzo addiction.
It's true that benzodiazepine dependency is really, really widespread. It's very common in the community, but it's just very rarely talked about. So our experience, Reconnexion's been around for well over 30 years. We were once upon a time called Tranks. Some people may remember that name. Working with people who have developed a dependency on benzodiazepines. The thing about benzos are that they're very normalised within the community. People aren't aware that there are any risks associated with taking them. Like they're generally prescribed for anxiety or insomnia. And when you think about that, they're two of the most common conditions that, you know, across the community that so many of us deal with. And very commonly people are prescribed benzos for them. The issues with benzos is that they're a legitimate medication, by the way, so that, you know, it's to do with them being prescribed inappropriately that we would have concerns. They don't cure those conditions. They just really help people manage the symptoms. The thing is that dependency can happen very quickly with them, sometimes in just a few weeks, and people aren't aware. And then once you're dependent, it can be extremely difficult to withdraw from them. It can take a very long time and be very painful and difficult. They're only supposed to be prescribed for 2 to 4 weeks, like all the clinical guidelines say the same thing, 2 to 4 weeks, and they shouldn't actually be the first line of treatment either. But the trouble is that many people are prescribed benzos for months and sometimes years and sometimes even decades. We have clients who've been prescribed benzos for decades. About 8% of our clients have been prescribed for more than 20 years, which is pretty extraordinary. I should say, actually, that for people who use benzos intermittently, those risks of dependency aren't there. There are a lot of people who just maybe take a Valium occasionally, and that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about people who've been prescribed over very long periods of time and maybe prescribed multiple benzos as well, or at quite high doses as well. And these things make the risk of dependency and then really difficult withdrawal much more likely to happen.
And when you say withdrawal, can you just explain what makes the withdrawal particularly hard and how that manifests?
Yeah, look, it's often thought of in the sector as being the benzos being the most difficult drug to withdraw from. You can't, for example, you can't withdraw cold turkey. It's highly dangerous. You can't do that. And the withdrawal symptoms, basically anything that can go wrong with your human body can be a symptom of benzo withdrawal. So the symptoms of withdrawal, as I said, a really long list, but things like pain, you know, abdominal or muscular pain, anxiety, depression, memory issues, hypersensitivity to light and so on, nausea, headaches, you know, nightmares, restlessness, palpitations, mood issues, all sorts of things are relatively common withdrawal symptoms. And what can happen is people develop a tolerance. People can develop a tolerance fairly soon, and they can actually be experiencing withdrawal while they're still taking the same dose they were prescribed.
Yeah, right. That is a really horrific double whammy. So what does your service seek to do?
Well, we specialise in benzodiazepine dependency, and we do it basically in three different ways. So we provide treatment, we provide support, and we provide education. So the treatment is where one of our clinicians works with the person who's realised they have a dependency with benzos and provides counselling treatment that helps them manage their withdrawal symptoms to start also to dealing with the underlying issues that are actually still there as they start to come off the benzos that, you know, they might emerge. They also work with the prescribing doctor on that gradual reduction. So we're talking about, it might take a very long time, might take months, but working with the doctor on a reduction schedule that suit, that's always being reassessed and that suits that person, you know, with how they're going. And look, for some people it's really straightforward and it's quite brief. It's just that for some people this can take months or years. But I must say, though, that because it sounds a bit grim, but I must say that people are always telling us it's so worth doing it, you know, even if it's a difficult road. People often say, I'm just so glad, it was so worth it, I feel like I've got my life back. Mm. So that's the treatment. Mm. The support, we've got a support and information service, and that's mostly providing telephone support. People often feel that they're dealing with these issues that can be very complicated and that they're not understood by others and not really acknowledged. So the support line offers strategies for dealing with withdrawal symptoms or dealing with anxiety or insomnia that are related. It can be really important for people to just hear, yes, what you're experiencing is real and, you know, there are ways to work through this and to manage it. So that's a telephone line in business hours. I hope I can give you the number for that.
Yep, absolutely.
We have a support and information service that provides mostly telephone support or also by email. And people can call us. It's during business hours. I'll give you the number, 1-300-273-266. It's not a crisis line. It's a support line. And it's for people who want to talk about, who've realised they've got a issue with benzodependency or they're having real trouble with their withdrawal symptoms or just for general information and support around that. So people often find that they're experiencing something that's just not well understood by others or acknowledged by others. They can call the line and be reassured that, yes, this makes sense, this is really happening, there's something you can do about it, it's well worth doing and working through that withdrawal.
What kind of people tend to call your service? Like I imagine the... You know, I think people have in their minds a particular idea about the kinds of people who get addicted to certain kinds of drugs, but my assumption would be that with benzos, it could be just about anyone.
Look, it could be, it is just about anybody, you, me, anybody. It's certainly not people who identify as addicts in any way. Age, background, gender, location, including interstate, we get a lot of calls, but age range goes from teenagers to people in their 90s, although the largest groups for both callers and clients would be people in their 40s and 50s. But most of our callers and most of our clients have actually been taking the medication that their doctor prescribed in the way their doctor prescribed it. It's just that the prescriptions have been for longer than the recommended period or at higher doses or something like that, multiple medications. And the person just begun to realise that they've got an issue. So, yes, really, absolutely anybody. It might be that some tolerance has developed and they realise that they're gradually taking more and that's worrying them, or it might be that they don't understand why they're experiencing these awful symptoms. We do have a small number of callers or clients who are getting their benzos without a prescription. And they might, they might be using other substances as well. But it's still the largest group is actually taking, as prescribed, doing what their doctor has said.
If you're struggling with benzo addiction, the number for Reconnexion is 1-300-273-266, or you can email them at info@reconnexion.org.au. That's info@reconnexion.org.au. If you're struggling with mental health issues more generally, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or QLife on 1800 184 527. This is The Informer.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.